If you would, pull out a sermon outline out of your bulletin. Please use that, write all over it. We'll go through probably the first part of it today, and we'll see how far we get into the second part. We are talking about how to win in this victorious life, and God has indeed given us victory in Christ. Victory for all of eternity is absolutely sure if our faith is in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Got battles along the way. One of those battles for probably a few of us in here is the battle with anger. Everybody's looking real kind of innocent and also squirming right now. Yeah, that would be, I don't know, like all of us, right? You know, we have different ways of showing it. There's the Christian ways of showing it, and then there's the, you know, less than Christian ways of showing it. But we all deal with it. And anger isn't a, really, anger is our friend. Anger is that when you're going down the road and the temperature gauge starts to go up, you know, you can just go ballistic and take a hammer to the gauge that's, you know, getting in the way. Or you can look at the temperature gauge as your friend and pull over and figure out what's going on. And so with this thing of anger, this thing of anger can lead us into, here's the topic of the day, bitterness, prolonged anger. Bitterness, depends on what we do with it. So anger is a secondary emotion. We'll talk about that in a moment. But when the anger light comes on, just, you know, we just keep it going, either by aggression or suppression, whatever. It just keeps going, keeps festering. We add more to that in marriage, in family, in relationships, in the church. And we don't know what to do with it. What do? We suppress it? Do we become aggressive? You know, let it out on somebody or something? Like, what do we do? What do we do with this thing, right? And so anger is just your friend, and we're going to learn about that today. How to use anger instead of producing, ending up in bitterness toward your spouse or anybody else, and it guiding us into a life of love, joy, and peace. Anger's your friend. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, for this privilege to talk together today. We thank you for the privilege to have just the whole array of emotions that you've placed into our being, ways of acting and reacting, and anger is one of those things. And thank you for this gift. Thank you for righteous anger. What a gift to feel what you feel. Thank you for other kinds of anger also, and using it to guide us in what produces a life of love and joy and peace. As we're terming it in these days, a Colossians 3 life, a Colossians 3 marriage and family and church. Guide us, Father, today. Have your way in us. Have your way through us as well. In Jesus' name, amen. We are in going through Colossians 3, kind of slow, because there's just some big stuff that we want to make sure that we have a handle on. And a number one determiner, we're told by secular and Christian psychologists that work with marriages, a number one, some would say it's the number one determiner on whether your marriage is going to work or not is how you deal with conflict. Or another way to put it, how we deal with this warning light that comes up, this thing called anger. And so this is a major topic, and I believe God understands that. I don't know. He created us. He's kind of been watching us as well, you know. He knows where things are going. And so God wants to guide us into using this thing for great good. If you would, turn your attention to, you got the same outline as I have right here, inside on page 2 of the outline, and verse 19, we have these words, husbands, love your wives. We covered that last week. And we're not going to review that. And do not be embittered against them. Yeah, this bitterness, probably what he's getting at is this anger that's just either coming out and not dealt with or suppressed and not dealt with, but it just builds up. And this is literally the root of this Greek word is the word for bitter. Anybody like bitter stuff? A little bit of it, you know, kind of exciting, right? And, you know, but man, if it gets really, really bitter, probably we don't. And that's where anger goes into, what anger goes into really, really quick. And so we are men to monitor our hearts and look for any root of bitterness. Book of Hebrews, chapter 12, the end of that chapter, warning that if this root, you can't see a root, but it produces something, if it's producing fruit, it's not gonna be good. All right? And too many of us have experienced the result of a root of bitterness. So we gotta examine our hearts, see if this bitterness is there, and then we're gonna talk today about what to do about it and how to prevent it. Again, a number one enemy of love is anger. And since you already have the outline on how to take care of anger so that it goes in a right direction and not a wrong direction, you have in front of you right now. You say, well, I'm looking around. Where's the outline? Where is the outline? We've covered it. It's this. It's Colossians 3, 1 and following. This is honestly the outline on how to take care of anger and turn anger, this warning light, it's a secondary emotion, it's not primary. We just want to escape the primary stuff. By the way, what's the primary stuff? Let's just go ahead and get into it. What's the primary emotions? Frustration, right? You're angry because you're frustrated because you want to get something to work out the way you want it to work out, your time, your what, and you're frustrated, and that whatever's getting in the way of that, man, you're angry toward that. Or pain. You're angry at whatever's causing pain in your life. A third one might be fear, but it's the fear of frustration or pain. All right? So let's just keep it super simple. We're just going to call it frustration, and we're going to call it pain. All right? And so that's the primary emotion, but it's just so much easier to deal with the secondary, the next emotion that arises, which is anger. Because you're angry, I'm angry, so I feel like I'm in control, and even if I'm suppressing it in my mind, boy, am I taking it to this person that's causing me the anger, my spouse or whoever, right? Man, I am taking it to them. Spouse doesn't know, but eventually she will find out because it'll explode, right? As bitterness builds up, that's that pressure can, a little touch on the top of some, boom, big explosion. Well, where did that come from? Well, it's been building up. It's called bitterness. And we want to take care of that before it ever begins to start. If it's there, we want to drain it, all right? So let's go ahead and get into it. Again, the primary emotion I'm going to suggest to you is frustration or pain, or typically they both go together, all right? I probably shouldn't do this at the front end, but let me just give you a couple of illustrations. Again, the passage is, husbands, don't be embittered against your wives. So I'm thinking through the week, and I'm thinking especially last night, because I got to give this thing, you know, I got to come up with stuff. And so I'm thinking last night, sitting down with Karen, and I was stewing, I was trying to figure it out, and she's asking me what's going on. And finally I opened up, I said, Karen, I got to figure out all the ways I'm supposed to be angry at you, okay? All the ways I'm supposed to be bitter toward you, right? Because, I mean, there's got to be a bunch of them, right? Because you're human, you know? So I'm trying to think, because I got to have illustrations. I don't want to lie to y'all. I want to be, you know, straightforward. So I'm trying to go through, and I just figured I'd find a bunch of them, and I'm just beating my brain against the wall going, there's got to be something, right? And so this is when I came up. This is honestly the complete list. Back when we were younger, we had discussions, slight disagreements, right? Okay, you know. And sometimes it would lead into anger. And the two big things in our life, money, like, is never, we're too, both too stupid, I think, to think about money a whole lot. Like, it just, there wasn't, like, for most couples, that's like the big deal, right? Money, you fight about money, and, you know, and I don't know why, but by, again, we became Christians, and probably money and all kinds of stuff would have been at front and center for our anger. I was an angry guy when Karen married me. I was just like, I put my fists through the walls, they're just like busted trash cans, busted whatever. And I just, an angry young man, just horrible. I mean, no reason at all. It's like, this is the weirdest thing. You think you're in control, but you look like an idiot, you know? And, you know, I was giving way to anger. And she married me in the midst of that, you know? And just my whole mindset was just terrible. And we became believers by the grace of God about a half a year into our marriage, something like that. And so this whole thing of anger, man, became, you know, front and center for me. I got to get a handle on this thing. Like, what? How do I do this? Our two things working through the early years of our marriage was probably, I don't know which one was first and second, but one was parenting, you know, the boys, right? Fixing the boys. I'm thinking, we got three boys, but we're gifted by God with three boys. Alyssa never does anything wrong, so she's never an issue. But the three from the very front edge. But the three boys, they're boys, right? And I'm thinking, yeah, you know, they're going to learn, you know, hard knocks, and they're going to figure it out, and you know, and it's not that big of a deal. And Karen's an educator, and she's going, actually, Ed, it is a pretty big deal when they go to burn that school down. I mean, it kind of matters, you know. They never did that, but you know what I'm saying. You know, and so, but I'm just kind of relaxed going, then they'll figure it out. You know, God's got this thing, right? You know, kicking it down the road. I don't have time, you know. And so that was one thing that we were always like, just like couldn't figure out, like the right way to do the parenting thing. She's probably right, and I was probably wrong every time, but I couldn't admit it. And then the other thing, by the way, the boys today are amazing. They're the best dads that I, you know, I watch my boys. I love watching them be dads. It's amazing. You know, way better, like way above me, right? And so they've, even with my foul-ups, I mean, they've become amazing young men. I just love watching them as dads. And then time together. You know, just not enough time together. And so, obviously, the wise thing to do if you don't have enough time together, when you do have time together, let's fight about not having enough time together, right? Does that make sense, right? But that was us, you know. So that was the two, probably the big things through the years. And then another thing was, you know, fix stuff, you know, especially fix people, because that's my job. I'm supposed to fix people, and especially fix the boys, fix the family, fix the neighbors, fix people, fix stuff, fix people. And it wasn't like she never nagged me, but she did remind me an awful lot about the need to fix people, you know what I'm saying, and stuff, you know. And so that would be kind of like, yeah, we talked about that about 5 minutes ago, you know. And so those are that's three. And then another one, she's got a lot of stuff to get mad at me about. I'm going way too long in this introduction. I'm going to kick myself after this thing, but anyway, I'm just trying to get it out. This is a cathartic moment. Okay, just pretend I'm on your couch right now, and y'all can get a counselor together, help us out. When she gets, like, she's got a lot of stuff to get mad at me about. Like, this, like, all the time, the stuff for her to get, you know, that she should be getting ticked off at me. And so if she gets ticked off at me, well, what's the logical response? Well, I'll get ticked off at her. I don't know why, just do it, right? You know, just we're out of our minds, you know. And then that's four, right? That's four. I had a Florida education, so I have difficulty with it. And so number five would be losing stuff, which is frustrating because then I have to spend time finding stuff that she's lost, you know. And then number six would be kind of a dual thing. One, when she wants to talk about stuff, like, it's always at the worst time, which is most of the time. You know what I'm saying, right? you know, and so calling me at the worst time, always the worst. He figures she's got a camera on me, or just come, you know, I'm in we have like a little apartment thing upstairs, you know, that's right. And so she's always coming at like the worst time. I'm watching the news for a couple of minutes, some big announcement's going to be made. It's like right then she's got to, you know, and there's that. And then, she wants to talk at the wrong time. That's frustrating for me. And then when I come dragging in, tough day, whatever, and she's in bed, and I'm wanting to talk, and she's not real interested in talking. So that's frustrating. Actually, that's hurtful. Now, we mentioned two things, frustration and hurt. And it's not bad to identify them. Typically, they go together. Like when she wants to talk at all the wrong times, that's frustrating because I got important stuff to do, you understand. And then when I want to talk and she's too tired or whatever, that's hurtful. Doesn't she know that at midnight, even though she has to get up at 5 the next day, she should be up at midnight waiting for me to come home, bubbly and happy and ready to talk about my bad day? Right? Doesn't that make sense? Yeah, the boy needs help. All right, so that's where we're at. I couldn't come up with anything else. I mean, she's amazingly easy to live with. By the way, y'all are the same. If I was trying to put together a list of why I should be mad at y'all, it would be a hard list to come up with. Y'all are absolutely amazing, loving, caring, and very, very forgiving and gracious. All right, so that's my anger list, which took way too much time, but obviously you can tell I needed it. Now, how to not... You know, so the anger, the idiot light goes on. The gauge is coming over, right? Starting to feel the anger thing, okay? So what do we do with that? Here's what I'm suggesting we do with that. I know this is quick, but you already have this memorized. Everybody has Colossians 3 memorized, right? Right? You know this stuff already. I'm just going to draw your attention fairly quickly to it. Flip open to page 1, top of page 1. Here's what we do about anger. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Keep seeking the things above, set your mind on things above. We've talked about this. How do we deal with anger? Our vision, men, and you're going to get this because you're men of vision in your company, you have a vision for that company. You'll do whatever it takes to make that company work. You remember those days, right, when you're struggling. In sports, you'll do whatever it takes to get to the top of the pile in sports. The Bucks right now, the football started back, life begins again. The Bucks preseason game last night, dismal. But anyway, I'm assuming they have a vision, right? Nothing gets in the way. Their relationship problems, nothing's going to get in the way because they got a vision. Well, what's our vision? Colossians 3:1 in marriage. Our vision is heaven, right? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done in my living room, in my kitchen, in my bedroom, as it is in heaven. That's our vision. We set our minds on heaven. It's really hard to get mad and argue if our brains are truly fixed on heaven and that heaven is present. I mean, honestly, think about that. That's vision. And that's not the only thing, but that's a big driver. For me, I hope for you. I hope you learn to use this, all right? This vision that heaven is present. We want our marriages, our families, and this church, quite frankly, to be heaven. And so we fix our minds on it so nothing gets in the way. And then verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, is revealed. Just look at that phrase. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed. Just put a dead stop right there. Is what we're arguing about right now going to matter when Christ, who is our life, is revealed? Well, we talk about this a billion years from now, a trillion years from now. Honestly, you know what? Most things don't matter. What are we arguing about? Probably it just doesn't matter a whole lot. And so we can just dial it down. Because if it's not going to matter when Jesus comes back, it probably doesn't matter that much right now. Whether I catch that next announcement on the news that I'm waiting for or whatever it is, we'll be okay. Number 3, So number two is, eternal perspective. Number one is really heavenly perspective, vision for heaven in our bedroom. Number two, eternal perspective. Most things don't matter. Number three, we put to death greed. Therefore, consider. Remember, we talked about this in Greek. I'm apologize for the translation. It's put to death. List some stuff. And the last one is greed, which is idolatry. You know what's killing our marriages? Idolatry. Greed. James chapter 4, verse 1. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures which wage war in your members? And so you proceed to kill each other. And you're not coming to God. What are we fighting about? Most of it's stuff that again needs that greed needs. And what is greed? Anything beyond either that we gotta have, you can have nice stuff. Again, I prefer everybody to have a boat except for me because I don't want to pay the money. But it's not that big of a deal, right? Greed is I gotta have it. If God blesses you with some nice stuff, that's cool. That's good, fine, fantastic. But if your mindset on it, if you got to have it, so now you're arguing about it, the boat or the vacation or whatever, what are we doing? All of that's greed. Let's just call it what it is. We're greedy for our own desires. Again, I'm just being gut level honest with you. In your marriage. Greedy for our own desires beyond the basics, and so we fight. And we're called to put to death greed because it's idolatry. And God takes it extremely seriously. All right? Matter of fact, take the next one. Verse 6, number 4. So number 3 is put to death greed. Just identify it, put it to death. You know, your relationship with your wife, men, is 1,000 times more important than the boat or the fishing pole or the whatever it is you need to buy. Okay? Verse 6, number 4. It is on account of these things that the wrath of God will come. We talked about that. What is that all about? That we are to develop God's perspective on greed. So to help me put to death greed, to help my wife put to death greed, so we're not arguing over stuff, we gotta see it the way God sees it. Greed, God is angry at greed. He's angry. And so we have these words. Matthew 5:21. Anyone who is angry with his brother is liable to the court. Whoever says raka, airhead, is guilty before the Supreme Court, whoever should say you fool, is guilty enough to go into a fiery hell. And greed brings us into that thing where we become angry at one another, and God's saying, if we become angry at our spouse or anybody else, and it's commonly greed that causes it, we're guilty enough to go into a fiery hell. What God's saying is, now if you're trusting Christ, you're forgiven. He's just giving you the level of the guilt that we want to develop ourselves, go in relationship. Therefore, if your brother has something against you, or if your wife has something against you, go and make it right. Then come back and pray, offer your offering, whatever it may be. All right? So we develop God's perspective, and we want to have the anger. Here's a verse on how to have anger. This is righteous anger. We need to be angry at idolatry, angry at greed, angry at the stuff that God's angry about in our lives, not angry at each other. Number 5, put aside anger. And wrath. The wrath is just kind of anger, just kind of intensified a little bit. Typically is how it's used in Scripture, it seems like. And then these lead to malice, slander, and abusive speech. So what's going on here? We've got, something happens and I feel like my wife is disrespecting me in some way or, you know, being mean to me or whatever it is. And so that either causes me pain because I don't like what she's saying and it's hurting me, or frustration because I don't want to deal with this. Can we just, you know, have peace and let me stick my head in the sand? And so I got pain, frustration, and then that's the primary emotion. And the better way to deal with it is to sit down and to talk about, when this happens, this is what I feel, the primary emotion of pain or frustration, and we talk about it on that level. But the easier thing to do, and this is what I do, this is what we tend to do, is let's just not be honest about that. Let's just go straight into anger. And then how is anger exercised? Anger is exercised by aggression, right? I'm going to just fight back. I'm mad, so I'm going to let it rip. Or suppression, which is just stuff it, because I don't want to deal with it right now, but I'm just stuffing it. And anger, aggression or suppression, and aggression could be active aggression or could be passive aggression, whatever, you know, that just, I'm going to punish the other person or I'm just going to suppress it because I don't want to deal with it. Both of them lead to what? In the course of time, bitterness. And that's what we're to avoid. So what do? We go all the way back to the beginning and go, wait a second, I've let anger dominate me. I need to kick anger out of the way, according to this, but just kick it out of the way. Let's go back to what really is the issue, frustration or pain, and sit down and talk on the level of, you know, Karen, this is what I perceive that you've said or feel or trying to communicate. Am I, you know, help me to understand where you're coming from? And then let's talk about how that makes me, how that makes me feel. I know, that's tough. But your wife wants to talk on that level, okay? She'll love you for it, okay? And so you get back to the root, the primary emotion, which is revealing the cause, and you talk on that level. If we move into anger, then we're going to move into suppression and aggression, and that's not going to work well for us. That's that malice, slander, and abusive speech from our mouth. Another way to look at it would be this. If I'm feeling anger, I can suppress it, or I can become aggressive, or what's the other choice? Do something. That's called ministry. When your enemy's hungry, suppress it. When your enemy's hungry, be aggressive. When your enemy's hungry, do something. Feed him. And so we give expression to the anger that we're feeling, and we're going to process it now the right way, which is a direction of ministry. When we choose ministry, that's service, that's sacrificing for the other person, the emotions that are going to follow are going to be connective with one another, and we're going to end up from the anger closer together, and we will experience love, joy, peace, and Colossians 3, marriage. Does that make sense? I know I don't talk about psychology a lot, but every once in a while, you just got to go, this is the way the stuff works, okay? Makes sense? Everybody good? Makes sense? Okay. All right, so back to our outline. If I'm going to deal with anger, it comes up. Number one, I got to have a vision for being, you know, this is heaven on earth. Number two, I got to say that, I got to have an eternal perspective. Most things don't matter. Number three, I got to put to death greed, identify that thing, which is a source of so many conflicts between us and sources of anger. Number four, I've got to develop God's wrath, God's anger toward the real source, which is greed. And then number five, or whatever else it may be that's wrong. And then number five, I need to just grab anger, kick it aside, and deal with the primary thing. And then that leads us to number six. Do not, this is verse 9, do not lie to one another. And be people of integrity. Be honest. You know, so sit down. Don't play games. Don't eat. I don't know. You know, just speak the truth in love. Be really, really honest. Communicate on an honest level. No flattery. Just loving honesty.
And then on that, you can put jot down Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. And then verse 12, number 7, remember that she is, what does verse 12 say? If she's a believer, she's chosen, holy, and loved. This person I'm fixing to get mad at right now is a person that is handmade and hand-selected by God. God's chosen her. I know that because she trusts Christ. And she is holy. What does that mean? She's set apart to the Lord. She's married to Christ. She's separated unto God, and she is deeply loved by God. Boy, if I can just review that, then open my mouth, how much different it will be. God's perspective on her. And then number 8, sticking with the same verse, put on, and tell me this doesn't work, put on a heart of compassion. What is that? Trying to feel what she feels. That's back to that honesty thing. Really, really listen. Trying to feel what she feels. Kindness, what she feels when she interrupts me probably is she spent all day with these kids that you can't have a real adult level with the kids that she's with. She's gone nuts, and she's a people person, and she needs folks to connect with, and I should be the number one person, okay? And I got to see that. So put on a heart of compassion. Feel what she feels. Kindness. Am I speaking words that are kind? Humility. Am I elevating her above myself? That's biblical humility. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 and following. Gentleness. Whatever I say has to be meek or gentle. It's got to be, any power in it has to be for her good. Patience. That's just biting my tongue, continuing to listen, even though we've talked about this every night for 2 weeks. Just patience. She wants to talk about it again. All right? Doesn't want an answer. Just wants to talk about it again. Because it's too late to call anybody else, a girlfriend or whatever. So patience. Loving her. That's what she needs to do. So patience. Bearing with her. Whatever. She's different than me. There's a newsflash, right? Bearing with her differences. Forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, listen, this is heavy. Just as the Lord forgave you, you also should. To the level I've been forgiven, I forgive. What is forgive? You know, a fiomi, it's a release. Charizomai, it's by grace. Two main words used for forgiveness in Scripture. So it's a release of the debt and the person to God. It's done by grace. It has nothing to do with merit. That's forgiveness in Scripture. That's what I'm called to do. If I'm doing these things and I'm releasing anything in the past, am I going to be bitter toward my wife? No. Because it's dealt with and it's done. Completely done. Is God bitter toward me? He should be, but he's not. It's done. And that's how we're to be with one another in the church and certainly in marriage. Beyond these things, put on love. So that's just a string of things to men to check our hearts with. Men, do you agree that you're driving home from work, and you know she's going to unload on, because this stuff's been, you know, brewing, and you know she's going to unload on you, or you think she is when you walk in the door. Gentlemen, honestly, if we pulled the car over on the side of the road somewhere, and we prayed through just this far, eight, we're prepared. Watch a little video of a preacher. I listen to a ton of preachers, seeing how they deal with this stuff. And during his sermon, he showed a video of a guy at a gas station, and he's filling up. I guess it was the gas station camera, and he's filling up his gas tank. And all of a sudden, you see just from the video, the car comes flying in and just nails the pump that he's using, right? Just creams it. Obviously, it catches on fire. And so he bolts, he just drops everything. He bolts out of the way. I mean, this thing's on fire. And then in the video,
It shows this guy running back into or near the flames. And this thing, you know, could blow up at any given time. He could just go, you know. And he runs back in, like his car, I think his car's on fire, around the pump's on fire. I mean, just a mess. And you know anything can blow up any given time. So he runs back in, and he opens the door, and you're waiting for the guy to just, right, be mad at the guy that almost killed him. But he doesn't do that. He reaches, and there's fire all over him. He reaches in, and he pulls it took him a little while to get the seatbelt off, and pulls the guy out and drug him away and saved the guy's life. He was going to be engulfed in flames at any given time. And the guy was a 70-year-old man that had some kind of seizure, and that's why it happened. I guess he was unconscious when it, yeah, I don't know, you know, but that's why. So here's the point. That guy was a cop that was filling up his gas tank. And he was trained to respond in these types of situations. Most of us aren't. Fortunately, he was, and because of that, he saved the guy's life. Gentlemen, we are called to go through God's training so that when things blow up in the house, we're trained. We know what to do. And we can take the fire that's fixing to start, and we can do the right thing as opposed to reacting like most human beings would react. Does that make sense? All right? And this is training right here. Let's go a little bit further. Number 9, flip the page, this is page 2. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Now, we talked about that. That's we're all one with Christ. That's just not being peaceful, but it's unity in Christ. Again, you can download the file on that. And so we're unified with Christ. In other words, how I treat Karen is how I treat Christ. And it's true with how I treat you. We've talked about that in the past, but it has everything to do with unloading this anger, pursuing words that are wrong in regard to anger. Let it rule our hearts. In other words, the dominant thought is this Christ indwells her. As I treat her, I treat Christ. And we could add to that, in marriage, we are one. And if I would say or do or think something that doesn't grow us in the reality of oneness, what am I doing? That's the vision we have together. Number 10, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell within you. What does the word of Christ guide us into? Well, number one thing is we meditate on Christ himself. Jesus, when it came to anger, when stuff was done to him, just kind of check this out, when stuff was done to him, how did he respond? Bad stuff. He responded with tremendous grace and love. Always looking for the best interest of the folks that were giving him a hard time, doing whatever it took, saying whatever he could say to help them. When other people were being attacked or the glory of God was being attacked, then there was a righteous anger in regard to that. That's that, you know, that temple scene, for example. Because God was being blasphemed, and because people will be in harm. Very controlled, very calculated, very thought through, making a definite impression, hopefully, on the worshipers. All right? So we want to be, what would Christ do is a good motto to throw in here, verse 16. And then back to our passage, husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. So this guide is guiding us to go, is there bitterness in my heart? Or am I doing things in a way that's going to lead to bitterness? And that guide is going to help you to do that. Let me just draw your attention to a couple passages in regard to this. Just continue to follow your outline. We're at the middle of page 2, and I've listed a few passages down there for us to consider as homework. Proverbs 29:11. A fool loses his temper, losing it, but a wise man holds it back. You know what that's saying? This is a matter of discipline. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit, self-control. This is a matter of discipline, a matter of going, the idiot light's coming on.
I can have, God's given me the ability by the power of the Spirit to be disciplined to not react to the anger, but to go back to the primary emotion and deal with it on that level. All right? Next, Proverbs 29, verse 22. An angry man stirs up strife. That's always what happens in anger. The anger of man doesn't work the righteousness of God. This is speaking about unrighteous anger, which is most of our anger. A hot-tempered man abounds in sin. What's at the root? A man's pride will destroy him, bring him low. But one who is humble in spirit is not going to react that way, and there's an honorable life with his wife and with others. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, a little tough passage. Be angry. In other words, anger's going to happen. It's just a natural emotion in all of us. It's inherently not wrong. Even, you know, there's the righteous anger, which is right. We just have to use it in the right way. But there's the other kind of anger that's just a normal thing. It's just the idiot light coming on. So when the idiot light starts to come on, the temperature gauge is coming on, don't sin. In other words, okay, things are heating up. I got to be really wide awake right now. One, I can't break God's word, what we just read, for example. Number two, I don't let the sun go down on it. We might take a time out and get our hearts, you know, right with the Lord and then come back together and talk about it, but we don't kick it down the road. We deal with it immediately, right? Prolonged anger just produces that bitterness. Don't bury it. And then number three, don't give the devil an opportunity. Just, you know, we're just awake to the fact that Satan uses anger. You know, we think we're in control, but quite frankly, we've given control to Satan. All right? James chapter 1, verse 19. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Again, anger is going to happen, but we want to hear God's word and in context and hear the person talking, our spouse. Be slow to speak. Listen. Be slow to speak. And then slow to get anger. The anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. Malachi chapter 2, I'm aware of the time, verse 13 and following. Men, please study this. This is the heart of God. And I throw this in. This is a heavy passage. But I'm throwing this in because this is God's heart. And verse 14 is its center. People are going, hey, God, you're not listening to me. Verse 14, why aren't you listening to me and my prayers? Things aren't going right in the business or whatever it is. Here's God's answer, verse 14 in chapter 2 of Malachi. Because the Lord has been a witness between you and the wife of your youth, against you, whom you have dealt treacherously. In other words, anger is always treacherous. Though she is your companion and your wife by covenant. Point of that passage is God is really hacked off if we treat our wives in anger. It's not a small thing. That's God's daughter. Imagine you got a daughter and marries a guy, and the guy is continually getting mad at her and bitter and, you know, abusing her verbally, that kind of thing. And then the guy calls you and goes, hey, Dad, I got a favor to ask. What's your response? Are you kidding me? I'll be glad to meet you out behind the woodshed. I'll give you a favor, right? So this is the obvious heart of God. And then 1 Peter chapter 3, live with your wives in an understanding way. Try to listen and grant her honor. Anger is never grants honor. That your prayers may not be hindered. God's not interested to talk to us if we're not treating our wives in a right way. Goes on to speak about being humble in spirit, giving a blessing when she gives us even an evil word. We give a blessing instead. Do what is good for her. Say what is good for her. Love her in an appropriate way. Let him who means to love life and see good days refrain his tongue from evil. That's discipline. His lips from speaking guile. Turn away from evil and do good. That's in the face of bad talk toward you. Seek peace and pursue it. Blessed are the peacemakers, for the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, those who are living this way. His ears attend to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. That's toward a wife. If she's having a bad day and she's lashing out, that's no license to do the same thing back to her. God's face is turned against us, even though we're completely forgiven. We are blessed in America. this list could go on and on, but that's because of the clock. That's good enough for right now. Just one other thought I had, in coming in here. Again, we are so incredibly blessed. I think a big help before I would disrespect my wife in any way, in anger or even to harbor anger toward her, is to take a moment also and see things from back to number one, heaven's perspective, and go, I need to spend a moment before I talk to my wife because things are going to blow up when I do. I need to take a moment and think about the Christians in the Ukraine and pray for them. I need to take a moment and think about the Christians in North Korea and pray for them. I need to take a moment and think about and you can name 100 places where husbands are being separated from their wives because of their faith in Christ, being killed, being martyred. Pray for them. Then come and unload on your wife. You will find it absolutely impossible to unload on your wife. We are so blessed. We are so incredibly blessed. And I look at the women in this church. We are so incredibly blessed. Greatest women on the planet. And I don't mean, I'm not kissing up to you. That's just an honest observation. We are so incredibly blessed. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for just a wake-up call to apply scripture we've already studied, to conflict, to temptations to become angry and give way to anger, as opposed to really, truly, humbly, honestly just talking about the true issues in front of us. Thank you for giving us a warning light to slow us down so that we can kind of regroup and go back and go, what really is going on right now? What do we really need to talk about? And may that be true in all of our relationships, certainly in marriage, but in family, in this church. And help us to be a witness with this even in business and society. Thank you, Father, for the great, great privilege that we have to be able to do life together with the companions that you have given to us. And for those of us who are single, Father, that you would grow us who are single in great wisdom in applying these principles to the friendships and relationships that we have. And if we have a chance to become part of a conversation regarding marriage and small group or one-on-one, wherever it is, Father, that we pursue or lift up biblical teaching and principle in how to deal with conflict, how to deal with anger. Thank you for lives of love, joy, and peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Mention Jesus and holding back his anger from those who abused him is an understatement. That's exactly what he did. And he went, the ultimate example, he went to a cross for the well-being of people who hated him, were spitting on him, abusing him, doing everything they could to destroy him and his ministry. And the expression he gave to any anger on the inside was an expression of ministry. I'm not going to suppress it. I'm not going to be aggressive. I'm going to use this emotion to drive me to ministry, all the way to ministry on a cross. And so 2,000 years ago, friend, I want you to just, if you've never spoken these words to the Lord, Jesus, thank you that you hung on a cross 2,000 years ago to give a ministry expression to any anger that was on the inside, to die for them and to die for me on that cross. You bore the penalty of every sin I've ever committed on your body on that cross. Jesus, today I trust you for the gift of eternal life. No turning back. I trust you as my Savior and Lord. Grow me as I study you to be more and more like you in this supernatural life to which you've called us. I trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. This area is open if you want prayer for anything. There's small groups for all ages. And if you weren't here earlier, if you want to go through membership with the church, it's an orientation session, a couple of sessions. Just meet me in the lobby, center of the lobby, and depending on how many are there, we will go to a room and begin the membership thing. Or just let me know through phone or piece of paper or whatever. God bless each one of you. God make you a blessing.